and welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network broadcasts from two shipping containers in Bushwick, Brooklyn, located next to Roberta's Pizza at 261 Moore Street. We Dig Plants is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee. Our sponsor today is Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to www.hearstranch.com. We are Groundworks, Inc. I'm Alice Marcus Krieg. I'm solo for the day, as Carmen is away on a family vacation day. And we design, install, and maintain gardens in and around New York City. Today, however, on our show, we've got a great bunch of gardeners from the Battery Conservancy down at the very tip of Manhattan. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, Sigrid.
Hi.
Nice to have you all here.
We're glad to be here.
So, and we also have on the phone Pete Udoff, gardener extraordinaire. Can you hear us, Pete?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. We have to talk for a little bit about the Conservancy, and then we're going to ask you some plant questions, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how the Conservancy began, and what do you all do down there?
The Battery Conservancy is a not-for-profit that is partners with the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation, and we were founded by Worry Price, who's the president and, as I said, the founder of the Battery Conservancy, to rebuild and revitalize the historic Battery, which is, as you said, at the very tip of Manhattan.
Right.
It's a small city park. It's about 25 acres.
Mm-hmm.
It's an historic park. The first settlers, the Dutch who came and settled New Amsterdam, that's the edge of the park. And then it's been successive landfills and has been a part, an active part of the city since the beginning.
Right. And it's really the segue into New York City, for all the immigrants that came.
Right. It was originally Castle Clinton National Monument was one of the first processing setups for immigrants to this country. It was done by New York State well before Ellis Island and the federal government got involved.
Right.
So it's the doorstep to New York City and the country.
Okay. And for our listeners, that was Pat Kirshner, Director of Operations for the Battery. And we also have Sigrid Gray, Director of Horticulture, just to make the proper introductions.
Thank you.
So how did the Conservancy then, with this kind of historic past and placement, how did it then begin working with Pete Udoff, who's this kind of futuristic plants person?
I think that's Pete's question there.
Okay, Pete, what do you think?
I was asked in 2002 just by Worry Price to if I could help them with a horticultural master plan, and that is how it all started.
Okay, so what makes these...
Hey, Pete, I remember that story a little differently, that someone had gotten one of your books and was talking to Worry as they were walking on the promenade and said, you need gardens with scale to match this harbor. And this person said, look at this guy, look at this book, and that was your book. And Worry said, oh, this is really interesting. And so she actually was in Europe on vacation with her family, and she went to see your work at the Floriade in England, I think. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's all true, but that is, it came to me as a rather unexpected. So we got a fax to the machine where she had the question
right.
could help them out. So that is how it all started for me.
Yeah,
I didn't know what kind of work she did before, but it came quite unexpected.
You said it might be a joke.
Yeah, well, no, we wrote a nice letter. Worry wrote a nice letter
through the
introduction and said, we think you're terrific. come do something here, right?
Well, I really like that you brought up the word scale. I think that's what makes those gardens so amazing, is it is the right scale. And, you know, the breath of air down there at the tip, it needs to be embellished. And that's what these plants do in these huge mass plantings. So what makes these gardens a little different then from, say, Central Park?
Well, going back to scale.
Yes.
The scale determines the size of the visual groups you need. It determines also how it's taken care of. It's a four-acre area, one of them, of perennials.
Mm-hmm.
They're huge, and so we turn to farming for some of our methods.
You turn to farming? Yeah, explain a little bit about that.
The cutback in the spring we leave on the ground as the food and the mulch for the plants, probably the perfect food themselves. And it also, we leave the seeds. The seeds are there, and those seedlings come up and they fill blank spaces. So wherever you have a blank space in a garden, you have weeds. The seedlings fill it and make it dense and...
So they're avoiding weeds, as you're saying.
Well, that's actually a good segue into the plant sale, because, you know, it seems a little shocking that you all, you have this amazing plant sale with these amazing plants, but how do you get these plants? Are you really digging up Pete's plants?
As soon as Pete gave us these great plants, we started digging them out and selling them.
No. Well,
no, but you know, you have to divide. So as a gardener,
to
you know,
keep the
you
plants need to, healthy.
Right, right. Yeah. So now you offer these plants to the public. So tell us a little bit about the plant sale.
Well, it's a custom propagation plant sale. That way we don't create a huge inventory of plants that won't be bought.
Right.
So people look at the plant list online. And they make their order, and then we go into the field and we propagate bare root plants for them. And they can also order potted plants, which are available later. They're available in May.
Right. So you all have really changed the face of landscape, because as a garden designer, everybody in New York is going down to the Battery to see what's going on down there. And then they're coming back and they're saying, I want this plant, and I want that plant, and I want this plant.
And now all they have to do is go to our website.
Thankfully.
www.thebattery.org and /plants.
Okay.
That's where our plant sale is. Yeah.
And we're going to put a link to this on our Facebook fan page, and I'm going to Twitter about it. I've already done some of that.
And then you have to get your orders in by March 4th.
March 4th.
Which is a week.
So what's the best seller? What plant is the best seller?
I can tell you it never sells. Grasses.
I know.
It's so funny.
But they're so beautiful.
They're so beautiful. But they don't look like much when they're very small. And they're still used less, I think, than things that flower. Those flowers, you know.
So, Pete, tell us about kind of your vision for some of these plants down at the Battery. Why these particular plants?
I thought when I came there for the first time, I had no idea of New York. I was used to work in America, just but very shortly in Chicago, where we did the Millennium Park, part of the Millennium Park. So I had no idea, I had no notice of how stressed that area was with people going on the boats and everywhere. So, and on the other hand, I wasn't. When I saw the planting, it was so out of my far from what I do that I was not shocked or anything like that. But I thought this needs this really needs something different. And, in a way, you can imagine when you come somewhere for the first time, you hear what they want and what the brief is and what they not what they really expect from you. They only expect you to do something beautiful or nice or like you know. I started with the Gardens of Remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first part of the whole, and that had to be done very rather quickly in a way and.
So, Pete, can you name some of the plants that are in that garden? Some of your favorites?
Yeah, the sedums, Akasashi, Salvias, Panicums, Monardas. Let's say there's a whole range of plants, but one of the things was that they should connect with the with the port, with the river and the harbor on one end, so that it should fit in place, should be right in place.
Right.
And that is the first thing. But that was my first step into New York, so I had to get used to it. It took a while before I was really into New York.
Yeah, it takes everybody a while to get into New York. So, Pete,
even the plants.
Yeah, even the plants. And that's actually what I wanted to ask. How did these plants actually get from your garden into Battery Park? Were you growing them at your home and then bringing them along with you as you traveled here,
or
did you
true.
You started here?
No, we had let's say because my we do a lot in the Netherlands. We bred a lot of plants. They got into the market here in Holland, and you know, the Dutch are good salesmen, so they brought them over to America already, and I knew where they were. So there were a few nurseries in America that already did a lot of plants we bred, and that I used for landscaping.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had quite a search for your short phlomis last year.
Okay, but that's a new one, I think.
That's a new one, right? And I found it at a nursery in California, and I bugged Sigrid for weeks about where I could get it. And then finally I found it, and my client loves it. And that's on the East River.
On the East River? Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the plants do very well, let's say not in California, but I'm amazed if I look on my, you know, on the web, on the, where people look at our website, it's in California a lot, and in Florida, and I'm amazed by that.
Yeah, yeah.
That people look at the way we garden here in Europe or in
Well, I think, I think America, you know, when you're not in New York City, I think the idea of a garden in America is really an idea of lawn, and that needs to be changed. And I think you and your books and your style of gardening has totally turned gardeners, you know, on their ear in America.
At Battery, we're trying to change the lawn also to a no-mow.
Yeah, to a
meadow. No-mow turf.
Right.
A fine fescue.
Uh-huh. So tell us a little bit about then the kind of maintenance habits other than, you know, letting things go to seed and then potting them up. What are some of the other maintenance habits?
We don't deadhead because we need those.
You need those seeds.
We need the beauty in the winter, but we need the seedlings in the spring. Those are free plants.
Uh-huh.
We are looking for ways to turn our turf areas into no-mow or a different type of turf that will work good in a municipal area where you have fewer staff and you have a lot of usage. And
right. People and money.
Yeah, we're an urban park.
Yep.
It's a different, an urban, heavily used park.
Battery is in effect a roof.
Yeah.
On
over
four subway stations.
They're right. We have
two auto tunnels.
Right.
Yeah, we have the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
Uh huh.
We have the underpass.
Uh huh.
That goes from the east side to the west side.
Uh-huh.
We have the number one subway train. We have the 4-5. We have, you know, we were subject to a 4-year disruption when the subway guys decided to cut through the park and put in a new subway tunnel and then covered it up again, and now they're giving it back to us.
Right.
You know, they see us as, you know, we're on top of their tunnels. We see ourselves as a park, you know, and there happens to be stuff down below.
Exactly,
you
know? Yeah, I know.
So and then we have millions of people visiting every year because we are the jumping off point, the ferry boats out to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. So we have right there 4 million people that we can count. And then we know there are more. So we think there are about 5 million people a year who come through the park. And more gardeners are coming through the park now because of our gardens.
Yeah, well, those plants.
And people coming specifically to see our gardens.
Absolutely,
and
sure.
Sit and look out at the harbor.
Sure,
the huge
patriotic harbor. You
know? We have to take a break. Hang on the line, Pete. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network.
Is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune in to The Speakeasy every Wednesday at 3 p.m., where host Damon Volte will discuss cocktails, spirits, wine, beer, tea, coffee, and all things in the liquid universe, with guests ranging from bartenders and brewers, alchemists and ambassadors, roasters and regulars, and every expert and enthusiast in between. Learn from some of the world's leading experts in mixology, bar history, distillation, and brewing about how we enjoy imbibing today. Again, that's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We have the gardeners and the garden administration here from the Battery Conservancy. Sigrid Gray, Director of Horticulture, and Pat Kirshner, Director of Operations. And before the break, we have Pete Udoff on the phone from the Netherlands, plantsman extraordinaire, talking about some of his plants and how he came to be involved with the Conservancy. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about the urban nature of the Battery, and I need to do a little full disclosure. Sigrid and I go way back in gardening history. I met Sigrid when I was working for Mary Riley Smith, and we were at the Cooper Hewitt Garden together, and Sigrid and I became fast friends, urban gardeners. And then we worked on a project in Prospect Park, also another urban site, and it was the traffic circle at Grand Army as you enter the park. And we worked on that for a little bit. And now Sigrid is, like I said, Director of Horticulture. So let's talk a little bit about gardening in an urban situation. And there's a lot of things that we have to contend with that are different from a normal perennial gardener.
Yes, we call it public impact.
Yeah, things like trash. And
trash is a river. It's a river that just never stops.
Right.
So we pick it up.
Yeah.
And there's more, and we pick it up.
And then you have to be cognizant of planting things that have thorns, because that just collects the trash, you know? So everybody wants roses, and as gardeners, we're like, oh, no more roses, you know, because that chips bag is going to be stuck in there.
We don't like little white plants, little small flowers, because it looks like trash.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And then, you know, there's, do you guys have much plant theft down there?
I don't know if we should talk about it. No.
Well, that's good.
The public is very respectful of the gardens.
It's so beautiful.
The better they look, the more people treat it with care.
I think that was more of a early 80s or early 90s, late 80s kind of situation with plant theft. You don't hear so much about
it. Bushes from people's stoops.
Yeah, you had to chain them down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, the beauty of a garden that's 4 acres.
Right.
There are so many plants. Where do you start?
Exactly. Exactly.
We probably wouldn't notice.
So let's talk a little bit about some of these perennial gardens, the Bosque gardens in particular. Tell me a little bit about them and what are they comprised of? And Pete, you know, feel free to chime in here.
The Bosque gardens were part of a renovation of the park. I mean, it's the park was a neglected park until the Conservancy came. It had city jurisdiction, state jurisdiction, federal, and basically nobody took care of it.
Right.
So the Conservancy stepped in and started to rebuild. So we've been doing a series of rebuilding projects. Mm-hmm. And the Boss Gardens there's the promenade right along the water. Then there were the upper promenade, which became the Gardens of Remembrance. And then the next step in is the Boss Gardens. And they're about 4 acres. They have 2 food service kiosks.
Uh-huh.
They're beautiful organically shaped beds,
mm-hmm,
with soft crushed stone paths.
In a grove of trees.
In a grove of trees. That's why it's called the Bosque. 140 London Plains.
Uh-huh.
There's a play fountain,
uh-huh,
which is a very popular spot.
Sure.
In the summer.
And it is dappled shade.
Yeah, the so trees, what plants are you planting
the
there?
These are London Plain trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so edge of the woods are in light shade.
Uh-huh.
There's very little dark, deep shade.
Uh-huh.
There are many grasses there that grow beautifully in the part shade.
Name them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about them.
Pete?
Tell us about some of your grasses, Pete.
There's a lot of Molinia. It's a shaded area with 120 plane trees, so it is a challenge to get that right. And we know all about root pressure and what that does to plants, so that not all the plants want to grow close to the trees. So we had to make and then of course the stress of people that go to the park and everything that can happen. So we had to do a real selection of tough plants and tough and beautiful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So grasses are an example. Of being tough. So we use a lot of Molinia. Molinia is a species that comes from Europe or Eurasia or the Northern Europe. And we had American native grasses that we used, not basically, but they are very strong. And
Calamagrostis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Calamagrostis.
Yeah, Buteloa, I think.
Chasmanthium.
Chasmanthium.
And then, on the other hand, we had the perennials that grew better than some, like Scutellaria, Echinacea. For in the shade, we had some Asylvis, Clematis, Gilenia, Japanese anemones, and geranium, and so it's
a
whole selection of real strong plants that last long, are basically really perennial, live long, and that was important for the park, I think.
Right, right.
That they were sustainable and live long.
Yeah. Pete, how did you get started in horticulture? What's your background?
My background is that my parents owned a restaurant and pubs, and that's where I grew up. But and I started into gardening when in my 20s.
Uh-huh.
So I got interested in plants and went back to school and just started my own design office in the late 70s.
Now, were your family, they were pub owners. Were they interested in food and growing things themselves?
No, there were, a pub in the countryside, so restaurant and pub. It was very just common.
Right.
But we had a big garden, and when I got interested in plants, I just started to garden at my parents, and then, I got obsessed by plants, more or less, at the time. You know, that goes rather quick. In half a year, I went back to school and wanted to become a gardener or landscaper or landscape designer, and that happened, and I started my own business in the early 80s.
Right. And I've actually...
No, in the late 70s, and that's how it started.
I've been doing a lot of just kind of gazing at your website, Pete, and your gardens, because it's awful and cold and gray here, and you can't go outside and enjoy our public spaces. But virtually, I have been doing that on your website and certainly reading several of your books. Are you going to be involved in any of the future projects at the park? The Peter Minuit.
We were busy with the bikeway gardens at the perimeter of the park, and that is a big project.
The bikeway gardens.
The bikeway gardens.
Okay.
And that is, I just finished the planting design this winter, and I hope it's going on, starting very soon. I don't know how far it is in. But that my planting design is done. So, but I'm looking forward to work on it in practice, so that to come over and just be there when the planting starts.
Okay, the planting starts. Yeah, we'll be calling you shortly. The bikeway gardens are part of our next big project, which is the perimeter. We are going to be putting in a big town green, known as the Battery Green, a big oval where we have a public assembly, and that will be turf. And then we're rebuilding the lawn. Renovating the lawn area, which will be known as the wood lawn. And the bike path goes along the edge of the park. On the city side, we have the Gardens of Remembrance and the Boss Gardens on the water side, and the city side is the bike path, which is a meandering, slow-you-down-with-beauty bike path, and will be flanked with Pete's Gardens.
And,
it's a little bit different at this time. It's more with shrubs and beautiful shrubs and winter flowering shrubs.
So it's a little more woody.
Yeah,
right.
It's going to have a different flavor.
Okay. And are you irrigating these gardens?
We're putting in some irrigation, and we have couplers, and we're putting some in until they get established, and then they're pretty much sustainable after that.
Are you doing any rainwater collection or at the garden?
Well, actually, in Peter Minuit Plaza, we've done a little bit, which is the public park in front of the Staten Island Ferry Building. That is a whole permeable, the whole plaza is permeable stone, which means that water goes directly through it down. And there is a collection area that we are doing a small rain garden.
Great.
But if the plants need a lot of water, they generally don't work for a long time.
Yeah.
And
So then that's not the right plant.
It's not the right plant for our
public place. Exactly. That's the best philosophy, rather than, you know, forcing something
into the wrong environment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I know I feel that way when I'm forced into the wrong environment. That's why the gardens as the Battery are so important for New Yorkers. I think they really are a stress reliever, an air purifier, you know, to city living. And
lots of birds and insects
and
that we
variety.
Never saw before coming through.
Variety and butterflies and migration patterns. And it's so, so necessary. So tell me also a little bit about the urban vegetable farm that's going on. That's kind of a future slated project, right?
Working with several schools in the city, mainly downtown Manhattan. And a couple other groups, a synagogue and a church. And planting vegetables.
Okay.
Right. And this is sort of a temporary thing. Before we build the whole perimeter bike path, we have this empty season. So we're going to activate the lawn and recondition the soil a little bit by growing things in it. Getting to know our neighbors, the people who live there, a little better.
Great. And how is the money raised for the conservancy, other than the plant sale, which I want to kind of get back to? But I know you probably have a big fundraising.
We do have a big gala. the plant sale is our spring event, and then we have a big gala where we invite our donors and friends, and they come to the park, and we have a party in the park, and that's a major bit of our operating budget. We have private foundations. We have individual donors. We have
corporations.
Yes, we have a big volunteer program that we has a lot of corporate help from. People have their day out of the office and work for us, and that's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of administration to get that up and running.
It is a lot of work, but worth it. Many hands.
Yeah.
And you know, on some of our big projects, we have a lot of area to cover.
And then people feel more ownership.
Connected.
And then they, you know, it's a great way of spreading the word and getting people down there. And, you know, so let's talk back about the plant sale, since we're on this fundraising topic.
Right.
So these plants, you know, so I log on to the Battery Conservancy website, and I say, you know, I'm looking for Phlomis, and I'm looking for Monarda, and a geranium, and a Molina, right? So how am I going to receive them? Are they bare root? Are they seed?
You have a choice. Bare okay. root, which is middle of March.
Uh-huh.
Those are ready. And early May is when the potted plants are ready. They're rooted in pots.
Okay.
And
you're
there's
shipping?
A form. There's an order form on the website.
Okay. And you're shipping all over the United States?
We're shipping orders of more than 30 plants.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, good.
And there will be a limit, too. So if you want something, you
get
should
it quick.
Get on our website right away and order it, because we're not going to empty out these gardens. These are just the natural divisions that we're basically sharing the wealth.
Exactly.
So
and I'm telling
they will
you,
run out.
And I'm telling you, you gardeners who lost after Pete's plants and books, this is the source. Get on this website. Say the website again.
TheBattery.org.
TheBattery.org.
/plants is where the plants
are. Plant sale.
Okay.
The plant sale.
Because these plants are very hard to come by in retail nursery centers. And I know I've spent a lot of time looking. There's a few sources, but this is probably the best.
Yeah. The sources are getting better now. It's been, then it was 7 years ago. When
right.
It began, but
right.
still some things are just impossible to find.
Right. Well, we're out of time. Pete, you just keep doing what you're doing and producing great plants for us, because we need to change our lawns.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay.
But I would say, what is a garden without the best gardeners? Without gardeners? So it's not about me. It's about how it is kept.
Well, good gardeners make good plants, or good plants make good gardeners, something like that, right?
No, good gardeners right. make the best gardens.
Okay. Thank you, Pete, for joining us from the Netherlands.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in. And we'd love to have you back on the show solo, and we can just talk plants with you if that works out at some point.
Whenever. You know my email now.
Okay, I do. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank
okay,
you
bye,
for
bye,
joining
Sigrid,
us.
Bye, bye, Sigrid. See, Pete.
Okay, enjoy your day.
Okay, thank you. This was the Battery Conservancy on Heritage Radio Network at We Dig Plants. Thank you so much for shedding some light on your beautiful garden. And everybody get down there and enjoy those plants and help pick up some trash when you're down there.
Right, always.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. If you've missed any part of the show, it's available on the website via archive or on iTunes and podcast. Thanks for listening. Happy gardening.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.